Hey church, what an amazing season we are in. And you know what? We're about to hear a great word from Pastor Russell. So prepare your hearts, prepare your ears. Let's take a look.
Hello church, how are you today? I pray that God will be ministering to you as we continue in the Word of God. Some of you are going, wow, he's dressed up. Yes, because it's a season now to start getting dressed up. It's a season now where we just don't sit there and be just chilled out. It's time to get your battle clothes on, get your working clothes on, get ready to move forward. It's a moving forward season. And so I want to encourage you. In actual fact, yesterday my daughter in a very small wedding got married to Noah, and so they're married now. And I had a suit, and I thought, well, if a suit's good enough for a wedding, it's good enough for church. And so I just want to encourage you, do not just sit and have a coffee in worship and prayer. Get up and praise him. Get up and worship him. Get up and make a joyful sound, you know, because I really believe it's time to get up in this season right now. You know, one of the things that they encourage people is, you know, God is alive right now. He's working. He's powerful. And there's this thing called atrophy, which is a wasting away of the body or organ degeneration or decline or decrease or disuse, from disuse. So what happens is people's muscles, when they're not being used, actually become become weaker. And we got spiritual muscles, and God doesn't want us to live in spiritual atrophy, but he wants us to live and get up and begin to move and begin to praise God. You know, as they loosen the restrictions, we're about to meet with 10, so we're working out plans on how to do that. It's a time to exercise your spiritual muscles. It's not a time for your spiritual life to sit back and just chill out, but it's a time to step up. That's why we are calling 21 days of prayer and fasting. Never in my lifetime has something happened that has been so significant on the earth, and it's time for the church to, in the spirit, shift things. It's time to see a shift and opening up. The Bible says what you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. And so we are going to pray that God loosens his power and releases his power, and everything that is hindering the move of God in this day. You know, as good as online church experience is, it is actually not church, it's an experience online. God designed the church to come together. And so we need to see a shift so that people can come together and celebrate the goodness of God. Today I want to speak to you, so I encourage you, join us in prayer. I want to speak to you on the topic, the glorious church, God's institution for change. The glorious church. God has called his church to be the vehicle of the kingdom of God to bring heaven to earth. And I was reading this book by Dr. Tony Evans, and I actually shared this with the leaders the other day, but it's a really good analogy. You know the old nursery rhyme, Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, and all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty back together again. And he makes this statement, that's because Humpty didn't experience the glorious church, the institution of heaven. You see, so many times we rely on other institutions, other places to be the things, all the king's horses and all the king's men will not see this nation and the nations change. It's the church of Jesus Christ, full of the Spirit of God. That's why it's time to arise and it's time to shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Where the church goes, goes culture, goes society. And so I want to encourage you, it's time, you know, we're doing everything we can, but there, as the things get loosened and the restrictions get loosened, it's not time to get up and put our toe in the water and be fearful, but it's time to be courageous and strong and mighty and powerful in the name of Jesus. In Matthew 16, we see the very first time the word church is mentioned. You know, it says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? The Son of Man am. They said, some say John the Baptist. So he was getting a poll. He was asking, what are they saying in the community about me? Some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And I actually read this the other day and I thought, wow, that's so true. I think Simon Peter stood up on behalf of the rest of the disciples and answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him and said, blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And also I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. So here he's bringing the picture of the church, because it's a very important thing. If you don't understand who Jesus is and you don't understand the things that he has ordained to bring change in society, you will never be effective to the ways God has for you. He says, and I will build my church. And straight after this, he says, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. In other words, he's saying, I'm going to use a vehicle to release a blessing of God on this earth, and hell might try to stop it, but it will not happen. And it says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So my question to us today, us as a church, us, you know, and people all over the world as a church globally, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? The first statement that Peter says is, you are the Christ. The word Christ means anointed one. You know, people don't mind Jesus the philosopher, or Jesus the teacher, or Jesus the person, the social justice helper, the Jesus the carer of the poor. They don't mind that. And I think that's all a part of what Jesus is. But Jesus fundamentally is the anointed one. And it's the anointing that shifts things. It's our good works anointed by the Spirit of God. It's our prayer anointed by the Spirit of God. It's the power of God that changes things. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. You know, the anointed one, when Jesus first introduced himself after being in 40 days of prayer and fasting, we're only doing 2 weeks. He did 40 days of prayer and fasting. He gets in, goes into the temple, and he opens the scrolls and he reads, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord, that same Spirit that came upon, that's upon Jesus, comes upon us, and it has anointed us to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent us to heal brokenhearted people. There are so many brokenhearted people on this earth right now. To proclaim liberty to the captives. God never made you to be captive to anything. He causes us to be liberty, live in liberty. The Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We need the Spirit of the Lord on this earth like we've never seen before. And recovery of sight to the blind talks to me about vision. It's the Spirit of God that gives us vision for our lives. That's why you can't just live in isolation. You just can't live in that place, because that is not a place of vision. A place of vision is getting up, taking risks that are safe, but we take steps. You can't just step up and do nothing. We got to take steps of faith today. Amen. And it says, and to set liberty those who are oppressed. There is so much oppression on people today. Fear oppresses. That's why we need to pray that we see the spirit of fear and intimidation and manipulation and control be bound, and the Spirit of God loosed, Spirit of freedom, Spirit of joy, Spirit of power, Spirit of love, whatever heaven's like. Jesus, when he was teaching us to pray, didn't say, pray, let your problems come on earth. No, let your kingdom come on earth. God wants heaven to come to earth, and it's the church is the vehicle, the embassy of heaven to release that. See, to be anointed is to be set apart for a divine purpose. You're set apart today. You're set apart to do something great. You're set apart, you're anointed to bring healing. You're anointed to proclaim liberty. You're anointed to see vision release. You're anointed to bring liberation to the oppressed. And you're anointed to proclaim the year of the Lord. He says, you are the anointed one. Who is Jesus to you this morning, church? Who is he to you? Is he just somebody you worship on a Sunday? Or is he a personal friend? Is he your Savior, your King, your Lord? Who is he to you? You are the Christ. You're not just a teacher. You're not just a prophet. You're not just a person who does social justice. You're not just a person who pastors. You're not just a person who outreaches. You are the Christ. You're the anointed one. You're all of those, but you're the anointed one. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We have a living God. Our God is not dead. So that's when we pray, we release the living power of the Spirit of God into our lives. God is alive today. Jesus is not in the tomb. He defeated hell. He defeated sickness. He defeated the grave. And he is alive. You have a living God. You know, some people have a God that is distant, a God that they think, well, I have a religious experience. No, God isn't about a religious experience. He's about his living power. He is alive. He is active. He is moving. And he says to us, the church, I've given you my Spirit to release my glory on this earth. Ephesians 2 says this, and you he made alive. You were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the curse of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we also conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by the nature children of wrath, just as others. But God, I love this, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace have you been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he shall show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. It's for by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good work, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You and I have the living God in us. If you know Jesus, if you don't, at the end of this service, you can. But if you don't know Jesus today, he is alive. He is stronger. He is bigger. He's more powerful. You are the Christ. Who is Jesus to you? You are the Christ, the anointed one, the one who brings healing, the one who sees the oppressed free, the one who brings liberty, the one who declares favor. But the reason you can do that is because you're alive. You're the living God. And he says, blessed are you, Peter, for flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you. I'm praying today that it's not my voice you are hearing, but the Spirit of God moving through me. Who is Jesus to you? Is he your Savior? Is he your healer, redeemer, protector, stronghold, mighty? Who is Jesus to you? Do you just leave his word on the shelf and let it get dusty? Or is it, do you get the word and consume it because Jesus, his words have life? You want to know more about him. Who is Jesus to you? You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. You're alive. You're God. What is your revelation of Jesus? You see, Jesus says, on this revelation, on this rock. Notice he doesn't say stone. He said, Peter, on this rock, I will build my church. I will build my church. The revelation of Christ is the foundation or the rock we live our lives on. The revelation of who Jesus is who the church is based on. You know, the church isn't perfect, and the church over the years, people have done stupid things. But you know what? Christ, if we said, God, I want to be in revelation of who you are, and the vehicle for releasing your glory is your church. So I want to love you and love others. On the revelation of Christ, he said, blessed are you, Peter. You'll no longer be called Simon, you'll be called Peter. And Peter is a word here, Petros. Peter is a word, Petros, a masculine form of the word for a stone. But the word, the rock that God used in Matthew 16:18 is Petra, which is the feminine form of the same word. This word used in classical Greek of collections of stories knitting together to form a larger rock, such as a ledge or a slab. It meant many stones joined together to form a rock that is far larger and more significant than any one stone could be. This is a great picture of the church. Elsewhere, Paul likened it to a human body, which all individual parts are knitted together to form one whole. The analogy is different, but the point is the same. The church is not built on Peter alone, but on Peter, the other apostles, and all those who believe and confess Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, coming together to form this larger entity called the church. It's when you have a revelation of who Jesus is, and I have a revelation, and others have a revelation, and we come together and we come into agreement. That's what we're doing with these 21 days of prayer and fasting. We're coming together believing Jesus can shift things. Believe Jesus, all things work together for good according to those who are called by God. Believing that Jesus can heal, Jesus can release revival. It's all of us having a revelation of who Jesus is. Who is he to you? And as we join our faith together, the Bible says, if two agree concerning anything, it shall be done. It's us coming together with a revelation that as we seek his face and as we pray and as we hunger after him, we activate something in the spiritual realm. You see, God's vehicle is the church for transformation. You know what the word church there means? The called out ones. You're called out of your sin. You've been called out of your problems. You've been called out of your circumstances. What to do? To reveal who Jesus is, because our purpose is the exaltation of Jesus, to lift his name up, not to lift a church name up, not lift a pastor's name up, not to lift a prophet's name up, not to lift up a music brand's name, not to lift up anything but the exaltation of Jesus. The purpose of the church coming together is to lift him up. The purpose of the church is to proclaim the gospel, the good news unto salvation. As I said before, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news. It is the power of God unto salvation. It is the purpose of the church as we have a revelation. He is the Christ, the anointed one. He is the living God. The purpose is to proclaim the gospel. What else is the purpose of the church? To bring biblical doctrine, to teach how to transform the world. The purpose of the church is the empowerment of believers. That's why we're called the body of Christ. He is our head, but we are the body. He empowers us to live out his work on earth. The head, see, when the body is subject to the head, what is God saying to you right now? What is God saying? Reach out to that person. Listen to the head, Jesus, and be the body who obeys him and operates in his direction to bring change. He is the head of the world. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Every ruler, every leader will die, but Jesus will never die. He is alive. He is the true head. So the church is for empowerment of believers. It's for providing a place of fellowship. In Acts 2:42, we see this. It's a place of joining in of meals, breaking of bread. In other words, it's a family. It's a place where we can encourage one another, where we can care for one another. It's a church, is a place of prayer and intimacy with God. The church of Jesus, it's not a building, it's the people, the church of Jesus, but that God wants to bring the people together to be this entity of revelation of who Christ is. The church is for, it's to be a lighthouse. It's to be salt. The church is the kingdom representation on heaven on earth. It's the embassy of heaven. The Bible says we're citizens of heaven and we're ambassadors of heaven. And an ambassador lives in an embassy. See, if I was in South Africa or I was in Singapore or I was in Geneva or wherever I was, and I went to the Australian embassy, as I walk into that building, I am now on Australian soil, even though I'm either in Africa or Singapore or Geneva or the USA or wherever I am, Philippines. When I walk in to an embassy, I am now technically in Australia. The embassy of heaven is God's church. So when people walk into your vicinity, they're stepping into the embassy of heaven, the place that should reflect heaven. Is there any fear in heaven? No. Is there any lack in heaven? No. See, God wants to release heaven to this earth through you and I. The church is the kingdom representation of heaven on earth. The church is for discipleship. And I'm sorry to say that discipleship just cannot happen online. You can learn online, but discipleship happens as we come together. Each joint supplies. I'm not sorry to say, but that's actually the truth. Discipleship comes together when we come together. And God wants his church to disciple nations. The church is the body of Christ. The church is a family of Christ. The church is a hospital to heal the hurt, the broken, the lonely. The church is a bride, beautiful. You know, Satan, Lucifer, was the most beautiful angel, but he got full of pride because he was so beautiful and so magnificent. And God says, okay, I'm gonna raise up another beauty that's called my bride. And I'm gonna show Satan, Lucifer, what true beauty is like. It's when the Bible says he made us lower than the angels. So God says, I'm gonna create beauty out of something that you are actually supposed to be more beautiful than, but I'm gonna create beauty that reflects me. A bride reflects a groom. You are the beauty of Christ. So negative, critical people don't reflect the beauty of Christ, but positive, faith-filled, loving, caring people reflect his glory. We are the bride. But in this scripture, the Bible also says, when he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, blessed are you, Peter, because on this revelation I'll build my church. And then he goes, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So in other words, he's saying there's going to be a spiritual fight. There's darkness and light. And God has positioned the church to be those who join with heavenly angels to see a shift. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in the high places. So to shift something, we need to take authority over something in the heavenly places. As we come in faith, in our prayer and in our agreement, we see something shift in the spirit. It shifts in the spirit first and then changes on earth. So over these 21 days of prayer and fasting, I want us to come together in agreement to agree with what God says in the heavenly places, what God says about our nation, what God says about our families, what God says about the future. And then he says, The gates of hell shall not prevail. The gates of Hades shall not prevail. And then he says this, and I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. In other words, he will give you the keys for any demonic attack. In other words, he has a solution for anything the enemy will throw at you. He will give you a key to unlock. You know, what does a key do? It can lock something and can unlock it. And then he goes, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. And it says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. In other words, what you lock shall be locked in heaven. But whatever you loose, unlock on earth shall be unlocked in heaven. So I'm going to do a sermon next week, probably on the armor of God. But you see, there is a new norm, and it's not the new norm what people think. It's a heavenly norm. What is the heavenly norm that God wants to release on this earth? What does heaven look like? That's the norm for us as Christian. Heaven, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God, how does that look on earth? That's the norm we should be going for. That's the norm we should be aiming at, a heavenly norm. And so over 14 days of prayer and fasting, Planet Shakers, and if you're not from Planet Shakers Church, you can join us, because we're not just one church. The church is a global body. But what I want us to do is bind all the things that aren't of Christ. Fear isn't of Christ. Let's bind this virus. Let's bind sickness. Let's bind all the works of the enemy. Let's bind it. Let's not be ignorant in knowing what the plan of the enemy is. Let's bind control. Let's bind intimidation. Let's bind fear. Let's bind the things in the heavenly realms. And then let's loose all the things what heaven is like. So let's loose joy. Let's loose power. Let's loose confidence. Let's loose freedom. Let's loose provision. Let's loose salvation. Let's loose worship. Let's loose praise. Let's loose. Let your kingdom come on earth. What you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. What you lock up on earth shall be locked up in heaven, and what you unlock on earth shall be unlocked in heaven. You and I are the church. It's not a building. It's going to take some courage. It's going to take some confidence. This is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, it will be done. You got to have some confidence in this season, godly confidence. You know, not be ignorant of facts, but live in the confidence of the truth of God's word. This is the confidence we have of Him. I release confidence to every person hearing my voice right now. Not my confidence, but God's confidence. Let there be a spirit of confidence, a confident spirit. This is the confidence we have in Him. Lord, we don't depend on our circumstances or our situations, but we release confidence in the name of Jesus. We bind fear. We bind it. Wherever you are right now, I want you to do this. I want you to grab it like you're holding it and saying, no, you're not allowed in my household. You're not allowed in my family. You're not allowed in our nation. You're not allowed on our leaders. You're not allowed in our street. You're not allowed. We bind you. And now, let's get rid of that. And now let's loose freedom. Let's loose blessing. Let's loose love. Let's loose joy. Let's loose any world. Let's loose a kingdom viewpoint. Let's bind a worldly viewpoint, and let's loose a kingdom viewpoint in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I'm, you know, we cannot live, I always say the word wrong, but with spiritual atrophy. We cannot live just immobilized. We've got to get up, you know, and act on our faith. Peter had the storm around him. There was storm everywhere. Disciples were freaking out in the boat. There was fear. The fact's there was a storm, but Jesus was in the water. He wasn't in the boat. And Peter says, if that's you, Lord, bid me to come. And God says, come. And so he comes. The safest place for Peter was in that ocean. I've preached this for many years. It wasn't in the boat because Jesus was in the boat. Jesus is in our steps of faith. It's not in our fear. When Elijah went and hid in the cave, Jesus said to him, what are you doing here? The Spirit of God said, the angel came, what are you doing here? And you know what is amazing? When Elijah got out and he began to go back to his promise, which was to be a prophet, he discovered Elisha. He discovered a double portion. He discovered a season of double portion because he got out of the cave of fear, the cave of anxiety, and he started walking. In other words, he got his spiritual muscles start activating towards his destination. My encouragement and challenge to us is right now, I want you, wherever you are, get out of your seat, and I want you to just begin to stand up and you just begin to walk. You begin to lift your hands up and you begin to praise. You begin to give God glory over your family. You know, if you've got family members around them, lay hands upon them, loose blessing into them, loose freedom into them. Begin to walk around your house and declare a place of victory, a place of freedom. You begin to look over your street and say, this street is blessed. Begin to, if you live in an apartment, look over your apartment, look over the city, wherever you are, and loose blessing. What you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise for this in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. Come on, let's come on. Get those spiritual muscles active. Get out of that seat. Put that coffee down. Come on. Begin to praise him. Come on. Turn your house into a praise house.
Wow, wasn't that amazing? And I'm sure it's exactly what you needed to hear right now for what you're going through. Hey, don't forget to follow us on all social media platforms at Planet Shakers. Keep in touch in this season that we're in. And also you can email us or check our website for other details as well.